Mighty God, Everlasting God, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. Jesus was called Wonderful Counselor, and we had a look at that a few weeks ago, and Mighty God, last week, Everlasting Father, today, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. You know, right there in the beginning, when God was from God is from eternity to eternity, and Jesus was with God. He has always been with God and the Holy Spirit. But the time came when Father God sent his son Jesus to this earth to be born of a virgin, to come and to live amongst us human beings on this earth. And then, of course, to die on the cross of Calvary and to rise again that we might have redemption. But let's look at Luke chapter 2 as we go. A child is born, a son is given. Luke chapter 2 verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Just stop there. I was quite fascinated with the word swaddling. I thought, what is this swaddling? And looked it up. And swaddling in those days was almost like a blanket or clothes that were tightly wrapped around the baby that would help in the transition period after coming out of the womb to now into life. And so this swaddling was a wonderful comforter. It was something that kept the baby tight and secure and didn't cry so much. So I want to say to all you youngsters out there, you people that had little babies, have young babies, try swaddling clothes, okay? Swaddling. But you know what? It talks about the love of God. When I had a look at this, I thought, you know, the wonderful that the baby is in the womb and then it comes out and there's that security and that love. And we have the love of God that is around us. Amen. We have the swaddling clothes of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That comes and loves us and comforts us. So I just thought that was great. Amen. Moving right along. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." People have said, "Well, that's wonderful, that's great. Jesus came and the angels announced that there would be peace on the earth. But for the whole of history, there has hardly been any peace. There have been wars and there have been all sorts of dramas and death and destruction. What is it all about this peace?" You know, we just look as we come to the end of this year and we see how, if we look across the globe, how things have deteriorated in many ways, how wars have broken out and riots and conflict. I mean, the rioting going on in India at the moment and then Hong Kong and many other places. And there seems to be more and more turmoil that is taking place. Climate change has caused havoc amongst the nations. And so what is all this thing about peace? Well, you know what? God's peace is different from the world's peace. And if in the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it's often used in reference to an appearance of calm and tranquility. The Jews would greet each other and say shalom. It was an endearment of peace and tranquility. Be at peace. The Greek word for that is irini, which means unity and accord. But the foundational meaning of peace is the spiritual harmony brought about by the restoration of God. Amen. And so the peace of God is something totally, completely different to the peace of the world. We've had peace treaties here and peace treaties there. They last a while, and then war breaks out again. But with God, He comes, and there's something supernatural about the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes, and when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is this incredible peace that comes into our lives. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." A lot of fear, isn't there? Don't know what's going to happen next year. We don't know how things are going to go. And South Africa with Eskom and all the other things, and the rating agencies are going to pull us down to junk status and all the stuff that is going on. People are living in fear. Am I going to keep my job? Up the West Coast there's an iron ore factory that's closed down, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people that are losing their jobs. It's not good out there. But you know what? Jesus came, amen. And Jesus said that the peace I give you is not the peace of the world. You see, in God's economy, peace doesn't mean the absence of war or violence. Out there in the world, if it's peace, that means there's no war, there's no violence, and everything is going just fine. But it's so fickle, it's so brittle, that in a moment it can change. And so we have this thing. So what does it mean that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace? And there are three areas I want to look at this morning. The first one is that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace because He restores every broken relationship. And as we know that Adam and Eve messed up right there in the beginning and broke that relationship with God, and how the world deteriorated. And so Jesus Christ came, and when He died on the cross, he took the hand of man and He took the hand of Father God, and he brought reconciliation. He brought redemption. The two became one. Amen. There was this incredible thing that took place when Jesus came. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And so we read in Romans 5, verse 12, that therefore, just as sin entered then in the world through one man, and death through sin, in the same way death came to all men, because all have sinned. All have sinned. And so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, we read, "For Christ is the reason that we are now at peace." Christ is the reason. He made Jews and non-Jews one people. We were separated by a wall of hate that stood between us. But Christ broke down that wall. By giving His own body, He ended the law with its many commands and rules. The purpose was to make the two groups become one in Him. By doing this, He would make peace. Through the cross, Christ ended the hate between the two groups. And after they became one body, He wanted to bring them both back to God. He did this with His death on the cross. Christ came, and through the message of peace, you and to those who were afar away. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus came and he came with a message of peace? You know, right in the beginning, God wanted humanity to live in peace and harmony. That was his plan. It was never his plan for sin and disease and sickness. It was never his plan for wars and chaos around the world. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ, because through him, the power of his life-giving Spirit has freed us from the law of sin and death. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit breaks the power of the enemy over our lives. And I tell you what, if there's sin ruling and reigning, there is absolutely no peace. There's fear and there's torment. Secondly, this morning, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace because he provides a well-ordered and balanced life. You know, if you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in all his letters, he writes to the church. He's talking about balance. He's talking about coming into unity with Christ. He's talking about letting go of the old things and all things becoming new. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we read, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the peace of God, God's peace, rule in our hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Not demolish, admonish. Isn't it sad that people go around demolishing one another with their criticism and their moaning and their complaining and the offense? Have you noticed that when someone is offended, everything changes, attitude changes, relationships break down? You know, there was a survey done a while ago, and they said at Christmas time, worldwide, when families get together, the biggest arguments and the biggest breakup in relationships happen. Isn't that terrible? People get together, and after they've had too many beers and too much wine and all that sort of thing, then suddenly they start bringing out all the problems in the family. And the statistics say that over this period, the Christmas period, was supposed to be a time of love and oneness in family across the world. There's terrible things happening, and that is not of God. Amen. It's not of God. Amen. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Come together and living in peace, living in harmony. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been justified through faith, and we have peace with our God, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so the peace of God is not dependent upon circumstances. It's not dependent upon what someone said to you or didn't say to you. It's not dependent upon whether someone offended you or didn't offend you, and now your peace is all gone. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And his Spirit comes to live within us. Amen. His Spirit comes to live within us, and he brings his peace. And then this scripture in Philippians 4, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and it is a key to Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Paul writes and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Are you gentle? Are you gentle? Is it easy to be gentle when you're in the traffic and that taxi cuts in front of you? But we're talking about a spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Be gentle, let your gentleness be evident to all. God is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If there's one thing that Satan will attack, it's your mind and your heart, your emotions. That is what the devil wants to do. He wants to rob you of your faith. He wants you to get you discouraged. He wants you to get you down in the dumps. He wants you to get you fearful. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We don't really understand it. We can't comprehend it with our human minds. But God's wisdom, His peace comes, and He guards our hearts and minds. Oh, thank you, Lord. I put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, amen, protects my mind from all the junk and all the rubbish out there. The Lord is, do not be anxious about anything. Sure. Have you been anxious in 2019? I have many times. I've been anxious, worried, maybe stressing about things. You know, you're in business and business is a bit quiet, and or, you know, your customers, your clients owe you money and they haven't paid you, and you've got the commitments to meet, and you get all stressed out and you get worried, and before you know, you're all churned up. Anybody done that in 2019? You're all a bunch of liars. Come on, we've got angels in our midst. Can you believe it? Hey, your prayer worked. Hallelujah. The peace of God. Do not be, but by in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Amen. The God says, bring your request to me, but come in faith and come in thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you've heard my prayer. Lord, we're praying for this person, and this person needs to be healed. And Lord, that marriage is falling apart, and we're praying for them, and we come in faith, but then we thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving. Let your request be made. And when you do that, the peace of God comes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God comes. Doesn't matter if the storm is raging out there. You have a peace, you know. And you know, it's often non-believers, non-Christians will say to us, will say to Christians, how can you keep calm in this situation? How come you're not falling apart? You lost your job, marriage fell apart, whatever, and it's terrible out there, but there's a peace because you know that God is in control. Do you believe that God is in control? Yeah. Do you believe He's sovereign? Yeah. Do you believe that He can do anything? Amen. Yeah. The third thing about Jesus being the Prince of Peace is that He assures us of eternal life. That is the one thing that no other religion on the face of this earth can assure their followers. Eternal life. But Jesus. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that eternity runs right next to your life as you live your life? It takes one moment, 1 second to step into eternity. Bus runs over you, something happens, and suddenly your life is no more. You immediately step into eternity. Immediately. Either going to eternal life or to eternal damnation. And the Bible is very clear about that. Paul writes, he says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. If you love the Lord. Amen. So there's this assurance in John 3:36. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Thank God that the cross of Jesus Christ, when Jesus hung there, He took on the wrath of the Father. Amen. So that His wrath is not on us anymore. Hallelujah. And we have eternal life. We have eternal life. You know, there was a time years ago when I was at university and I was studying, and And I went through this. My dad was a preacher, and I went through this thing where I wasn't sure that if the rapture took place, I would go. And so, in those days, there was no cell phone. Okay, I'm giving away my age. Okay, I'm just over 50. I mean, I'm a bit more than 50. But so I went to the tiki box, and I wanted to phone my dad because I knew if my dad was here, then the rapture hadn't taken place. Hallelujah. That I was still okay, you know. And so I would, and then I would hear his voice. Hello, son. Oh, dad. And I'd make up some excuse why I phoned him. I thought, oh, thank goodness, you know. Go back to my lectures and I was, you know, at peace. But it was a silly thing, I know. But I just didn't have that assurance that if I died or something happened, would I go home to be with the Lord? And then, of course, I had to have a real encounter with God and know with an assurance. Amen. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch you out of my hand. Isn't that wonderful? No one, no one will snatch you out of my hand, Jesus says. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I and the Father. Isn't that wonderful? That you are safe in the hands of Almighty God, even though you have a speed wobble, even though you fall off the bus at times and things go wrong and you say some naughty words or whatever, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So we are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can say amen. Amen is amen in Afrikaans. Okay. All right. Okay, and then my last scripture here in 1 John 5:13. He says, I write these things to you, John writes, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you will know with an assurance that you have eternal life. Wonderful. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. You know what? It's wonderful to know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that He came and He brought reconciliation. He's brought reconciliation. He's brought He's given us a balanced, mature life that we can live according to His word, that we can have the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we can be sure of our sins forgiven. We're going to watch a video right now, and this video depicts a lot of turmoil that goes on in life, but how that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So let's dim our lights and watch that quickly.